Philippians chapter 3, and we will stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I know you might be confused if you heard we were going into 1 Samuel. We started with 1 Samuel last week. I'm already diverting in the second week, but pray the Holy Spirit is leading. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And then I'll read from Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for you, for your love for us, for your grace toward us, for your word for this new year. We pray you help us, Lord, as we begin this year to trust you, to follow you, to walk with you, to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, have you started your New Year's resolutions? Or maybe you've already quit, because after all, it is the 6th. I was reading about some New Year's resolutions. One fellow said, many years I resolved never to bother with New Year's resolutions, and I've stuck with it ever since. Another fellow said his New Year's resolution was to tolerate fools more gladly, provided this does not encourage them to take up more of my time. I kind of like that. I'm not saying I would do that. I'm saying there's, anyway. And then the last one of these that I found, I read a whole bunch of these, but they didn't seem very good. My 2019 resolution is to complete the New Year's resolution from 2018. Oh, I'm sorry, there is one more. A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. I like that one a lot. That's like the best one, right? Well, this message is not about New Year's resolutions. I just gave you those for free. And you say, thank you, Lord, because how many messages have you heard on New Year's resolutions, right? About New Year's resolutions. But I was meditating on Philippians chapter 3, and I taught this on Wednesday night. That section was our Wednesday night study. I kind of mixed things up. I thought we were going into 1 Samuel, and I didn't realize I hadn't finished Philippians until... Anyway, you know, I got confused. It hasn't happened to me before. I never get confused. But anyway, I did that time. And we covered these verses on Wednesday night, and it was a very special night, I think. And I believe the Lord moved in a neat way. And I thought, as I prayed about it, it was impressed on me that we need to look at this a bit more and consider what it means to forget the past and press on. To press toward the goal. You know, the past is gone. You can't do anything about it. And how many of us in here would like to forget something from last year? You guys that didn't raise your hand and aren't thinking about it, you're thinking right now, there's got to be something I want to forget. But to start this new year, it's a time for goals, right? We look at that, and most of these goals, you know, let's be honest, our resolutions, our goals are many times about losing weight. I got that going on. Being more organized. Anybody got that one going? Paying down debt. Being a better husband. Oh, that was your wife's revolution. My resolution is that he'll be a better husband or a better wife or a better worker or whatever else you do, being a better of this. And they're all fine as far as they go, but what about the heart of things? Because the heart of things is the heart of the matter, right? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's all about what's going on here. And we really have a trail that's been blazed before us. We have an open door. We have every opportunity to experience the fullness of what the Lord has in our lives. We simply need to, as Paul says there in the first verse we read, we need to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. We got to grab what the Lord has for us. And we do that by focusing in his will and his plan. God has a new thing he wants to do in your life, in my life, in 2019. God has a new thing he wants to do in this church in 2019, in your family in 2019. In every way, God has new things on his heart. He says that he will pave a road in the wilderness and a stream or a river in the desert. Now, the wilderness has no roads, not even really a path. If you've ever done this, if you've ever gone through the woods and had to sort of pave your way, make your way, you can't find a road or path, it can be a bit scary, wouldn't you say? So when you think about your life with no pathway, with no roadway, with nothing, no real direction, nowhere to go, you kind of are just looking at this forest. And you ever hear the term, I can't see the forest for the trees? And it's because there's so much blocking you. And the Lord says that he will blaze the trail. He will make a path in the wilderness. If you will follow him, he's going to open the road and say, okay, this is the way I want you to go. Come with me. Follow me. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus did. He said, come and follow me to his disciples. He didn't say, come and be religious. He didn't say, come and fix your life. And then once you fix your life, maybe you can actually pray. No, he said, come and follow me. And I will blaze the trail. And he did, and he does. And the Lord is telling you, and I think he's speaking to some of you this morning, that he will make the road. The question is, will you go down the road? Will you follow him? He'll cut through all the briars and thorns in your life. He'll blaze the trail to make your path straight. And he'll make streams or rivers in the desert. Now, I don't know if you've spent any time in the desert, if you know anything about the desert, but in Israel, the deserts are really desert. Like, they're wilderness. When we talk about the wilderness of Israel, the wilderness of Judea, it's the most barren place you can imagine. There's nothing there. There's not even, you know, there's not a bush hardly. And I have been there when a torrential rain took place in Jerusalem, and we're driving down the road to the Dead Sea, and they actually shut the road to the Dead Sea because a river came down the mountain and washed out the road. And this verse jumped into my mind when we said that. This is what he means, streams in the desert. He doesn't mean like a little trickle stream. He means like a rushing, mighty river appearing like that in the desert. And that happens actually in Israel because of the rains in the mountains that suddenly come down the hill, come down the mountain, and they literally wash out the road. And I've seen it. In fact, we saw three rainbows in one day as we were traveling. And the guy that we were with, who'd been guiding for 27 years, this is not this past trip, but a few years ago, she had been guiding for 27 years. She said she had never seen the Dead Sea Road like it was that day or the rainbows we saw. So we got a really special day that day. But it creates this stream in a matter of minutes. So much so that the road washes out and they have to close it. When a river comes through the desert, listen, it changes the landscape. And when God does a new thing in your life, in my life, he will change the landscape of your life. And he can do it in a moment. That's the wonderful thing. You know, we need to repent. We need to do what we need to do. But then God starts and he can just do a whole brand new thing. If you don't know Christ today, if you've not yet come to him, if you've not yet been submitted to him and allowed his rivers of living water, as Jesus talked about, to come into your life. Because the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will overwhelm you with torrents or rivers of living water. And John the Apostle wrote that and said that Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom he had not yet given. The Spirit of God comes and he will do a work. And as we come to new 2019, I'm convinced that God is doing something brand new. And this has been on my heart this week. And I want to share with you seven things about new life this morning in Christ and how we can apply them to our life. Seven is the number of perfection, interestingly, and we are perfected into a group of people that God wants to use powerfully. God is perfecting you. You'll never become perfect, but he is perfecting you. And in these coming days and years, should the Lord tarry, he can use you and I, this church, very, very powerfully. If we will let him, if we will walk with him. So there's seven references. If you can't turn to them all, that's okay. You can just stay with me. I actually was going to tell the guys to put them up on the screen. I don't know if they can still do that right now. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the first one. They're familiar verses to most of you. Most of these verses are going to be ones you know. So you can just jot them down if you want, look them up later. But this is important stuff. He says, therefore, for from now on, verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. See, this is where it all starts, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a newness. And those of you, you've been a Christian a long time, you know what this is. When Christ came into your life, you felt washed. You felt new. You felt like the greatest experience. Maybe you didn't feel a lot that time, but you know over time you knew it was the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life, right? And if you have not yet done that, this is what knowing Christ is. He makes you a new creation. He comes in and he cleans everything up and he makes you new. There's nothing quite like new things, you know? Isn't that true? We love new things, don't we? This is a new shirt, by the way. Christmas shirt. It's new. I wore it today because I was doing this thing on newness. I actually had a different shirt chosen, and my wife was saying, well, why don't you wear your new shirt? And when I'm doing my study, I'm like, oh, yeah, good idea. Now, new creation. The point is this. To become a new creation, you have to submit yourself to Christ. You have to be in Christ. And to be in Christ means you have confessed your sin, you have agreed with God that you are a sinner, you've confessed that sin, and you have allowed Christ to forgive your sin, and you believe that Christ died on the cross in your place. And he's the God-man, and he is the one who makes you new. You can't make yourself new. You know, this is New Year's resolutions. Of course, Christians aren't the only one who have New Year's resolutions, right? The whole world has New Year's resolutions. Everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions. But renewal and doing new things, trying to clean up your act, trying to be better? It's all fine as far as it goes. But if you don't know Christ, you really can't become new. In fact, real change really only comes when the change comes from the inside out. And Christ is the one who changes us. He comes in and he cleans everything up. And you have a new life. And you have new hope. And you have new peace. And you have new joy. It's really like new everything. Remember, he says, all things have become new. All things. The second one, I want you to check this out. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Check that out. New mercy every morning. Every day, you wake up, there's a vat full of mercy waiting for you. Every single day. Mercy and grace, they tie together, right? We know that they're different, but they're connected. So it's speaking really of the whole package of mercy and grace. New mercies. It's not even just one mercy. It's not like you get up and you blow your mercy and it's over. You know, you get up and you, all right, Lord, you gave me mercy on this one thing this morning where I yelled at my dog and that's it. It's over for the day. No, new mercies. There's lots and lots of mercies. And trying to exhaust the mercy and the grace of God is like trying to empty the ocean with a Dixie cup. Go down the ocean sometime. Take a little cup with you. One, two, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. It just keeps washing. And so too with the Lord. And what this then means is we have a new spirit within us. You see, when you have experienced the new mercy of God, when you've experienced the new creation experience, you've been born again. That's why it is called being born again, because it is making dead people alive. Remember that statement we've said over the past year quite a bit, that Christianity doesn't make bad people good, it makes dead people alive, right? And you've come to life. And in the book of Ezekiel, I don't have the... 37:19. It says, I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Have you got a hard heart? Have you had a hard heart? You say, I don't need that Christianity. It's okay for those weak people. Listen, you're a weak person too. We're all weak people. People want to ridicule us and say, you're a bunch of weak people. Yeah, that's me. I'm weak. I need a new spirit. I need the work of the Spirit in my life. I absolutely need my heart to change. And even as believers, we can have a hard heart towards something, can't we? We get angry with someone. We become bitter with people. And the Lord does not want this in your life. He wants you to soften your heart. He wants to allow him to soften your heart, to give you a heart of flesh, to give you a heart of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is not optional as a believer in Jesus Christ. You want the new spirit. You want the experience of the new spirit in the sense of your life. You want the experience of a refilling or a fresh wind of the spirit in your life. But yet, you're going to stay angry at your brother or sister? It doesn't work that way. Jesus said, as much as you forgive others, that's what you're going to be forgiven. That is a very sobering thing. Forgiveness. Grace, extending it to others. And he renews our hearts, and when we seek him, he places his spirit inside us and gives us a brand new spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It's all tied together, right? A new creation, new mercies, new spirit. And I want you to turn to this verse. This one's important, not that the others weren't, but I want you to turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Because when you have been born again, and this ties into what we're talking about of laying hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us. You want to lay hold. But how do you lay hold? Like, what do you do to lay hold of that? What do you do to press on? And here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Futility means emptiness. Anybody look around at this world and see the emptiness of their minds? Anybody participating in the emptiness of the world? Don't answer that. Answer it to yourself. You know where you're participating. You know where you go with this. And he says, don't walk that way. We should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You see, to press on, to lay hold, you've got to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to let God do what he wants to do in your life. But here's what he goes on to say in Ephesians 4. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul's kind of saying here, if you're really a Christian, if you really have gotten it, if the Spirit really lives in you, you're not going to respond this way. You haven't learned Christ this way. And so verse 22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You see, you got to put it off. You got to put off your old behavior, your old life. You take it off like dirty clothes. You put them off. But you don't just put them off. Verse 23 is the key. He says, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So your mind needs to be renewed. We talked about this Bible reading, and I want to encourage you and challenge you. I'm going to be a part of that. Let's join together and read the whole New Testament in 6 months. Wouldn't that be awesome if as many of us could do that? And by the way, let me give you the hint again. If you can't read it all, you can listen to it. You've got on your Bible app, you've got the listening option. Put it on there and listen. It's a great option that can help you. And it really helps me in the reading and learning it. I read it and listen at the same time, and it actually gets through this dome, you know, sort of thing. Look at verse 24 of Ephesians 4. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old, put on the new. You see, you have been made new in Christ. We've already read that. If you're a Christian, you're new. Now put on the newness. Stop carrying around the oldness. Stop carrying around kind of a dead body. That's what the old man is. I know some ladies like to call their husbands old man. But if I bought you a new set of clothes, you only benefit in those new clothes, to have those new clothes, when you put them on. Like, this is what people do with the Bible sometimes. They get a Bible, they get a great big one, big fat Bible, they put it up, they display it. It's this holy Bible. But it never comes off their shelf. And it's kind of like having a new set of clothes that you kind of look at and go, ooh. You hang them up on a nice hanger, sit them out, maybe you put them out and display them, oh, those are some nice clothes. You want to enjoy the clothes? Put them on. Put them on. You want to enjoy Christ? You want to enjoy your Christian life? You want to experience the fullness of the Christian life? Put on Christ. Put them on. Allow him to be the most important thing in your life. You can stay in your old rags, but this is not what God wants for your life. He wants you to realize that all things are new and that when you became a Christian, you have the ability to put off the old man and put on the new man. This is what it is to walk in the Spirit. This is what it is to walk in resurrection life. It's all tied together. It's all the same thing. Living the victorious Christian life. Living the resurrection life. Living the life in the Spirit. And when you do this, number 5, John chapter 13, a new commandment I give you, Jesus says, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 13, 34 and 35. Love one another. See, since you become a new creation and you have new mercy and you have a new spirit dwelling within you and you put on the new man, well, then you should walk in the new commandment in loving one another. When Jesus was asked the question, what about the law and the prophets? He said, on the law of prophets hang this, on these two things hang all the law of the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Put on the new man. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is where it all comes down. This is where everything is. You love God, you love people. You know you're not taking anything else with you when you leave this earth? Those new clothes you got, this shirt, I'm not taking this to heaven. You'll never see me wearing this. Being clothed in righteousness, that's what we're going to wear in heaven. Love one another. And when we love one another, we look like Jesus. And when we love one another, we are being a witness to this dying world that desperately needs to see people loving one another. I have been grieved recently by the bad witness of Christians to the world, by their behavior, their actions. I mentioned last week, like things that get posted on Facebook. These are by people who name the name of Jesus Christ. And it grieves my heart. And if it grieves my heart, think of what it does to the heart of God. That people are not loving one another. Think about the way you react to every situation. Is this the way Jesus would want me to love this person? Am I loving them? And if not, then realize you're just acting in the flesh. And we justify ourselves by saying, yeah, but they made me mad. Listen, they pushed your buttons, right? Anybody got buttons? You know, you can only have your buttons pushed if you have buttons. In other words, you don't have to, you know, you say it's their fault that they do these things to you, that they make you angry. But they don't actually make you angry. You're actually angry. And they just went beep, and out came the anger. You just kind of threw up anger on them. Love one another. Love one another. What's the most loving thing you can do? Think of a situation you're in right now. Many of you have them. You got messy families. You know how I know? I got one too. You know, I've talked to a number of people about family situations, and one of the sayings I've had lately is, we all got them. They're all there. Dysfunctional families. Listen, if you don't think there's dysfunctional families, the Bible's filled with dysfunctional families. How would you like to be one of the sons of Jacob? He had 12 sons by 4 different women, and we don't even know how many daughters he had. Imagine that conversation with their kids. My mom's better than your mom. She cooks better. She looks better. Our dad loves her more than he loves your mom. Imagine. You think they didn't do that? Oh, yeah, they did it in Hebrew, but they still did it. Dysfunctional families. You see, the reason we're dysfunctional is because of this big 3-letter word called sin. And when sin entered the world, dysfunction entered the world. Not only death, but with death came dysfunction.
And all of us are this way. We're a mess. But be a godly mess that love each other. And when we love each other, it reveals that we're following the new commandment. This is a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. See, he makes all things new. And then we are laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. He laid hold of you so that you could love. That's the reason he made you, to love others. That's the reason he saved you, to show his love to others. So in 2019, let's be a display of his love. Amen?
Well, the next one, I have so many verses on. I'm just going to read them off to you very quickly, and I'll tell you what they are. You can look them up. But it's that in this whole relationship with the Lord, it's a wonderful thing that our relationship with the Lord is not just like a, it's like a sterile corporate relationship. You know, some churches and some backgrounds, some people, you feel that way. It's kind of very corporate, very sterile. I kind of grew up in that kind of world. You know, everything's very, you know, you do things in exact order this way, and then, you know, you say things all together, and you kneel down, and you stand up, and you bow down, and you do all these things, right? All these rituals. But he says to sing a new song to the Lord. And in that is the newness of our relationship is overflowing because of the newness of what Christ is in us. And so we have a new song to sing. And it's not just speaking about song. Maybe some of you can't sing. Well, I actually know some of you can't sing. But because I've stood next to you and I'm a woo. But listen, he put a new song in my mouth, it says in Psalm 40. A song of praise to our God, many will see and fear him and will trust in the Lord. You see, you don't have to be able to sing. It's about the new song that's in your heart and in your mouth, and it overflows. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all you earth. Psalm 33, sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. Psalm 149, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. You think he's hinting towards something? Isaiah 42, sing to the Lord a new song, sing praise from the ends of the earth. Psalm 144, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. And then Revelation, in the very end, he says, in the book of Revelation, when we're in heaven, it says they sang in Revelation 5:9 a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and break the seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with the blood, with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. In Revelation 14, and those who were around the throne sang a new song, and the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000. There's even a special song for those saints. Sing a new song. There needs to be a newness in your heart that overflows into a new song, or really, in a sense, a new heart of worship. So this year, 2019, we're looking at reading the Bible more. Mike said it in their little prayer time before him. We're going back to Sunday school. Bible reading, prayer, worship. Very simple. And when we do those things, we experience laying hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Well, I want to bring us to one final thing because we're going to come to the communion table this morning. Turn to Matthew, I think it's 26. I didn't put the text in there. I just pasted the verses and didn't put the text. I hate when that happens. Matthew 26, I think it's Matthew 26, 26. Yes. Matthew 26, 26. I'm going to hold that for a second and just bring you to my close, and then we'll come back to it. So what are we to do with all this information? The last one is on a new covenant, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. That's what we read and we started with. I exhort you, I encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ today, forget the past. It is one of the greatest tools of the devil to condemn Christians with their past. Sometimes it's with the recent past, just this last week or yesterday or maybe even this morning. And other times it's with a past that's 10 years ago that you still think about, it still haunts you, and you can't get over it. Listen, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. And Paul had many things to forget. Paul was a murderer of Christians. He stood by while one of the prime martyrs was murdered right in front of his eyes. He held the cloak of those who killed Stephen and watched him die right in front of him. And yet he says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. So number one, forget the past. Number two, press on. Press forward. Press toward the goal of the upward call. God has a perfect desire and plan for every one of our lives. He has things that he wants to do, and our thing is we need to press toward what he wants to do. We need to press into him in prayer, press on in our relationship, press on in our Bible reading, press on in our worship, press on in relationships and loving other. And as we press on, he fills us more and more and more, and we begin to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. Number three, take a spiritual state of mind. And this ties into what we've been saying. Take your spiritual pulse. How are you doing spiritually today? What is your concept of life? How is your Devo life? How is your Bible reading? How is your commitment to the things that God wants? And then ask this question, simple question. What does God want me to do in 2019? What is God's plan for my life, for your life in this year? What is it? Have you done that? Have you thought about that? Because that's what God wants us to come to. And it could be the most important question you ever ask yourself and God. And then when you come to that, you need to come to then realistic goals. One of the things that I do sometimes, and it's not good, is I look at myself, and I'll use my physical losing weight as an example. I look at myself and I go, man, I got to lose 50 pounds. And I say, okay, 2019, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And then there's chocolate on the counter, you know. You see, the thing is, the goal can't be lose 50 pounds. That might be the long-term goal, but the goal needs to be lose a pound. The goal needs to be don't eat the chocolate. One thing. Notice Paul said, this one thing I do. He wasn't talking about eating chocolate, but he was talking about this one thing I do. I press toward the goal. In other words, every single day, there's one thing. There's one thing. So you say, well, I've never read the Bible in my life, hardly at all. Okay, one thing. If you can't read the whole New Testament in 6 months, read a verse a day. One thing. One thing. But I don't really know how to pray. Spend 2 minutes each day. Just talk to the Lord. Tell him, thank you for this day. Lord, help me with today. One thing. This one thing I do. So rededicate yourself to seeking God on what the goals that he has for your life, and simply do one thing to meet those goals. And listen to the voice of the Lord. That was going to be my message today. It's going to be my message in 2 weeks. I'm not going to be here next Sunday. Well, I'll be here, but Mike's going to teach next Sunday. And as long as he doesn't steal that text, I'll do a message on hearing the voice of the Lord. This is always a little hard when we switch off, you know? But listen to God. Listen to what he has to say to you. Eli, the story of Samuel there in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli and Samuel, Samuel's a little boy and he's working with Eli, and he goes to bed, and you know the story, he goes to bed at night and he hears a voice, and he gets up and he runs to Eli and says, "Master." Eli says, "I didn't call you." He goes back again, and it happens several times. And finally Eli goes, "Must be the Lord." I don't know if he smacked his head like that, but something like that. And he says, "When you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, for your servant listens.'" Samuel takes a step further, says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." And then he gets direction from the Lord. Listen for the voice of the Lord. And you say, "Where do I hear the voice of the Lord?" Well, you hear the voice of the Lord in the still small voice, in your heart, he speaks. You hear the voice of the Lord in counsel of other people who you know and trust that can tell you good things in your life. You hear the voice of the Lord when you read his word. Most importantly, when you read his word, you hear the voice of the Lord. And when those things come together, by the way, all together in one voice, in a sense that like a direction in your life, that's the Lord telling you. So I want to come back to Matthew now and talk about this new covenant, because this all ties it together. It says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples." I'm in Matthew 26, 26. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And they took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the," notice, "new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine now until the day when I drink it new with my Father, with you in my Father's house." We're new. We've established that, right? We're a new creation. We have new mercies. We have a new commandment. We are new in Christ. We can put on the new man and walk in this newness of life. But the great thing is that even if you've had the worst year in 2018, even if you've been the worst sinner on planet Earth, the great news is there's a new covenant. And the new covenant is based on his blood. And today we're going to take the bread and the cup. And you can renew your covenant with him. You can renew your relationship with him, or even come into that relationship with him. And the bread and the cup is representative. It's his body and his shed blood for you. And you can experience that newness. It's a new agreement, if you will. You see, the old covenant, it was all based on the law. It was based on works. It was based on what you do. Remember the words that Jesus said on the cross? "It is what? Finished. It's done." You can't do anything to work your way. You just receive. And today, as you receive the elements, as you receive the communion elements, take them. Eat them. Remember him. Listen, we're told to forget the things of the past, right, in our own life. So here's what you do. You forget those things and you remember him. In other words, you put him in your place, in your mind, put the remembering of what he's done for you in the place of all the things that you've done wrong. Because what he's done for you is shed his blood and washed you and cleansed you
and made you one with God. He's united you in Christ, with Christ.
It's a covenant that's based on mercy and I'm putting on Christ, and it's in his blood and sealed with his blood. So let's forget the past and press on. Press on toward the goal in 2019. Amen? Father, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, I know we've only scratched the surface of this whole topic of laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. And Lord, like Paul, we don't count ourselves to having apprehended, but one thing we do, we press on. We reach forward. We extend, Lord, in a sense. We press toward the goal. And Lord, as we come to the table today, it's a pressing toward the goal. It's a putting on of the new. It's coming based on mercies. It's coming based on grace. And it's coming being so grateful that we are a new creation and that we have a new spirit within us. And that we sing a new song of worship and praise. And Lord, as we take the bread and we take the cup, we realize that you did this all out of love. Love for me, love for us, love for each one of us individually. And Lord, teach us to love one another, to be the kind of Christian people that we're called to be. So today, listen, as we come to this point, I'd like everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you know the Lord, if you've got a relationship with the Lord, would you please pray right now? Pray for those in this room who've not yet come to that place of trusting Christ. Maybe you've been to church, you've been religious somewhat, you've been around some Christianity, but you know that you don't have what we're talking about. You don't have a vibrant relationship with God. You've had maybe some knowledge of these things, but you've never opened your heart, confessed your sin, and realized that Christ is the only solution to your problem. See, the thing is, you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior.